Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. My name is Eric.
And my name is Matt.
And today we have another special guest.
Yes. The topic today is going to be music and movies, something that, of course, Eric and I know a lot about, but we wanted to bring in a good friend of ours. I've known him for a long time. His name is Brandon. He actually hosts a podcast dedicated to movies. It's called Boozy Floozies for Movies.
Which is a fantastic name, by the way. I know you didn't come up with that, Brandon. I know you
No,
didn't.
I just want to say it with an accent first. Boozy Floozies for Movies. That's what I want. I've been waiting all day to do that.
He's been practicing.
So let's bring him in. Brandon, come on in.
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
There he is.
Not much. You're doing good, man. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the lovely introduction.
Absolutely, dude. It's been a while.
It has been.
You're handsome as ever.
Oh, yeah. You guys look great. You guys don't look a day over 18.
Many Ozfests and Mayhem Fests spent with Brandon over the years. So it's good to see you, man.
Oh, yeah. I think I've known you guys for, I was thinking about it earlier, about, I think 23 years.
God damn. We're that old.
Yeah.
Makes me feel old. Really old. I mean, Eric, you were grooming me at a very young age to for whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I know. Back in the I-98 days, dude.
It was I'm working at an AM radio station and I look through a window into the FM station and there's this fucking ogre staring back at me and I'm like, what, this guy likes top 40 radio? And then it turns out yes, but no at the same time. And he likes a lot more metal than top 40. But
it looks like the Undertaker, so but he's playing the Backstreet Boys. What's going on?
For sure.
Oh, Brandon, tell us a little bit about your podcast, man.
So, Boozy Floozies for Movies. It's me, my wife, and our best friend. And we started during COVID because what else do you do during COVID but hang out with the one friend that you hang out with the whole time when you're in quarantine and whatever.
The bubble.
Yeah. So we said, you know what? Me and my buddy Tim wanted to do movie nights. And of course, my wife Alana was like, well, why can't I be a part of it? Why not me? And I was like, we wouldn't have heard the end of it. So we decided, all right, fine. We'll bring you in. You know, we'll roll dice to see who picks first. And we're just going to do like a round table and each pick a movie each week or each time we do a podcast. And we have to expose the other one to things that they may have never watched, may never want to watch. And no matter what, they got to sit there and watch the whole thing and then participate in the podcast and give us their honest opinion.
It's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. And having Alana on the show, it brings not only the female perspective, but she's just such a wise ass dude. And she, oh my God, she compliments you so good.
She like no holds barred. Like she's just like, nah, that fucking sucks. And this is why. And you're like, oh wow,
yeah, she, okay. She definitely speaks her mind, dude. Is not afraid to give her opinion.
Oh, never has. Imagine living with it. Love you, honey.
So what are we doing here today, Eric? What, we got Brandon here. We're going to call you an expert. We're going to call you a movie expert.
Yeah.
Sounds great. I'm far from it.
This is what we do. No matter who we bring on, they're suddenly the expert of their topic, even if like you're really not.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so today you're our resident expert on movies. And initially we had discussed the idea of doing an episode on movie soundtracks. After, you know, kind of brainstorming and whatnot, we realized it's kind of a broad topic and we decided to sort of synthesize it down a little bit and focus on a song. And then we decided, oh, even better, a song that really integrates into the movie, into a particular scene so well that it becomes iconic. The scene itself is iconic and that it's the perfect song for that scene. So that's kind of what we're going to focus on today.
Okay.
So with that said, we're going to let our guest go first. So Brandon, what do you got for us?
So I'm going to actually pull one out of Eric's rule book here. And I had a tie for the first one.
Nice.
Really couldn't choose between the two because they're both so iconic in my opinion. And I was a toss up between either the Jaws theme by John Williams.
Oh yeah, dude.
Or the Halloween theme by John Carpenter. Both super iconic, set the mood like nobody's business and are frightening to say the least. Like I remember watching Jaws as a kid just going, holy shit, this shark could be anywhere. Where's the shark? We're under the water listening to this theme song, and I know he's around. Where the fuck is he?
Yeah, dude. You know? That movie tripped me out as a child too, man. I was afraid to go in a swimming pool. after watching that movie. Like legit, like I'm in my pool in the backyard and I'm looking underwater, like making sure there's no sharks in here.
It's instantly recognizable when you hear that song, you hear that music.
Oh, for sure. All you have to say is dun dun and people know exactly what you're talking
about. You're scared shitless too.
Oh yeah. And then of course Halloween, the Halloween theme with John Carpenter's theme for that is insane and just spooky as all hell.
Yeah, dude. And that, oh my God, again, like you said, iconic. That opening scene, that one long shot in the beginning of the original Halloween, which is just insane. It's got to be one of the longest one shots in like cinematic history. I don't know, I'm making shit up now, but it's super fucking long, dude. Like that opening sequence, dude, it's one camera shot. And that music's playing and it's the point of view shot going through the house and you're like, holy shit. But yeah, that song 100% makes that scene. And yeah, when a song like that too gets, you know, copied and used in you know, pop culture over and over over again. Same with the Jaws. I mean, those are two great picks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the song itself becomes, you know, synonymous with just scary shit.
Yeah, it was funny because as I'm like thinking of like songs, my head goes more towards the score than the actual songs, you know, like soundtrack songs. So it's like I'm in my head, I'm like torn between the two, and like I feel like sometimes the the score of the movie is more impactful than an actual song in a movie, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, that's totally fair, man. Absolutely.
But yeah, Jaws and Halloween. That's my tie of the night.
And two just awesome movies too. I mean, two of my favorites, man.
Nice way to start the show. Scare the hell out of us. You know, it's cool.
Hell yeah. You got to change your pants, change your shorts.
And again, man, we don't have very strict rules here. So yeah, a tie, okay. Totally okay with that.
I've learned this from listening to past podcasts you guys have done that there really are no rules. They're just very loose.
100%. They're more suggestions than rules.
Or, guidelines. Yeah. All right. I'm up. I'm going to go with something super obvious, but one that has to be discussed. It is Bohemian Rhapsody in Wayne's World in the opening sequence.
Absolutely.
Talking about iconic. And the thing about that is, obviously, Wayne's World, 1992 movie with Mike Myers as Wayne, Dana Carvey as Garth. But Bohemian Rhapsody, that song came out in 1975.
Yeah.
And it had pretty much been forgotten by the time that movie came out.
For sure. And,
you know, that opening scene, you know, Wayne gets in the car and he's holding up the cassette tape. I think we'll go with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen. I remember seeing it for the first time and thinking, how is this going to work? Like, it didn't make sense. It didn't seem like Queen was a band that like Wayne and Garth would have been into.
Right.
But I guess like, you know, Mike Myers fought to make that happen, where even the director, Penelope Spheeris, didn't think that was the right song.
No kidding.
But yeah, Mike Myers was the one that said, no, this is it right here. But to think about, you know, that opening sequence, they're listening to the song, they're driving around Aurora, Illinois, you know, in the Mirthmobile. And how many of us still lose our minds and headbang when the guitar and drums kick in after the operatic part? Like
every time.
Yeah.
And that's and that song remained popular, you know, after the movie. It never kind of faded away like it did the first time after it came out in 1975. Like, it has stayed popular ever since then. So it was great in that movie. It was great for what it did for the song, but just that scene was just so great. It fit those guys perfectly. The one drunk guy in the middle in the back seat, you know, let me go. He thinks he's going to hurl in a car. Like, it was so great. It was so well done.
And we've all been there with where you're listening to a song and there's someone in the car going, I think I'm going to barf.
I might have been the guy in the middle of the back seat once or twice in my life. I'm just, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought up the headbanging part, because at the time, like in the 90s, I was doing a lot of like mobile DJing and stuff. And I'm telling you, dude, before Wayne's World, you couldn't play Bohemian Rhapsody at a wedding. People have been like, what the fuck? Why are you playing? This is the weirdest song ever. After Wayne's World, I mean, that was one of the most requested songs at a wedding. It's the weirdest song. You can't really dance to it, but everybody loved it. And everybody just could not wait to get to that part and you've got like old ladies on the dance floor, little kids, and everybody starts headbanging when that part comes on. And people still do it today. It's amazing.
Dude, like I said, it still happens. Like if I'm driving around and that song comes on, man, I'm playing it all the way through and it gets to that part and you're damn right, I'm headbanging when that guitar and drum kick in.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah.
For sure.
I don't think you can hear that song and not do that, or at least picture it in your head. If you're not actually going to do it, you're at least in your head, you're doing
it. I just want to see Grandma Edna headbang into it. You
I've seen it.
You know,
it's something special.
It's great.
Fucking false teeth go flying across the dance floor. You never know what's going to happen. Shit goes crazy when you play Bohemian Rhapsody, man.
Passing it on to a new generation as well. My daughter now, she's on board. She does it too.
Awesome.
Does she? Nice. Well, she's a big Queen fan. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, as long as we're talking about music and movies and soundtracks. But Eric, you know what sound is also perfect for any scene?
Can I do it?
Yeah, let's do it. Ready?
Here it is. 1, 2, 3.
That is so nice. I'm going to take a sip of this. Oh, man. That's my first try. That is Once Upon a Coconut. I just tried for the first time coconut and watermelon. Eric, what do you got?
I have coconut and blueberry. And it is fantastic, dude. This is really good.
This is the perfect drink for the summertime. And it's more than just coconut water. You know why, Eric?
Why is that, Mac?
For every case of Once Upon a Coconut sold, they donate 10% of profits to charity.
That's cool.
I really dig that. Made with 100% pure coconut water, never from concentrate, full of electrolytes to keep you energized and hydrated. Check them out, please, at onceuponacoconut.com.
All right. I'm going to go with the first song. When we talked about doing this as a topic, the first song that came to mind for me, it's one of my all-time favorite movies, and it's a fantastic soundtrack. This whole soundtrack is absolutely amazing. Every song is a fucking banger, but I had to go with my pick. The movie is The Crow, the 1994 version with Brandon Lee. Yeah, the song is My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, and it's called After the Flesh. If you're not familiar with My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, not only do they have the coolest band name in the history of music, they're just such a cool band. It was this like industrial metal, just such an amazing band, so high energy. And that song in this particular scene in the movie, Brandon Lee's character, Eric Draven, the Crow, he's, you know, killing the bad guys, and there's one bad guy left. He's hiding out at the bad guy, like the leader of the bad guy. It's like his club. Yeah, so they're kind of protecting him, and the Crow just comes in. He's like, dude, I want him. And they're like, well, you can't have him. And this whole fight scene breaks out, and there's just bottles exploding, guns, you know, going off like crazy, flashing lights. While that's happening, the song is playing, and the band is actually has a cameo in the movie. They're playing live downstairs in the nightclub. So as the fight scene's going on, they're cutting back and forth between the band performing the song, the fight scene happening. And like I said, you know, Brandon Lee's character is just fucking everybody in the room up. It's one of the best fight scenes ever. And that's the perfect song for that scene, man.
And that's the one place I knew you were going to go tonight. I knew you were going to go to The Crow.
Oh, I had to.
Oh, yeah.
I
knew the same thing. That's why I was like, you know what? I can't pick anything from The Crow, because I knew. And I'm sure across the board, we all love that soundtrack.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Soundtrack is amazing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's why I was like, yeah, I'm going to step outside of that and go somewhere else.
Isn't the Pantera's version of The Badge?
The Badge is on it. Yep.
Oh, my God. Yep. That's a great, great song.
Yeah, The Cure does the
Burn.
Yeah, Burn. Oh. The opening scene where you're it's the point of view of the Crow flying through the city. Ah, man, yeah, it's a beautiful movie. Visually, it's a great movie. It's you know, the cinematography is amazing, and the songs are so good, and they fit the movie so perfectly. But yeah, I could have picked just about any of the songs from that soundtrack. But
yeah, oh yeah,
but that scene in particular is just so good. It's the perfect song for like a kick-ass fight scene. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
great pick, man. Great pick.
Thank you. All right, Brandon.
Oh God,
it's your turn, buddy. What do you got next?
So for my second pick, I was, like I said, I'm drawn more to the scores of movies. So this, and I love soundtracks, but I somehow in my brain I keep them separate. I don't know how. I don't know why.
Totally fair.
But there was one song from one of my favorite movies that I thought of, and I was like, holy shit, that's my one of my picks. And it's the movie is SLC Punk, and great movie. If you've never seen it, one of the opening scenes of the movie, the song "I Love Living in the City" by the band Fear is playing. It's just this awesome opening scene, and then it goes into Matthew Lillard in the middle of a mall, just talking about how there's so many fucking posers, and nobody knows what real punk is, and you know, was it the Sex Pistols? Was it the Ramones? Who started punk? And he just goes into this like 5 minute long tirade of just talking about how he's a real punk. All these guys are fucking posers. You know, look at these mall rats, you know. And it's such an awesome scene in a movie like that, when you're like, I'm an outcast and I totally understand what he's saying, you know. and it's funny because at the end of all of, you know, at the end of everything, it's really, they're poking fun at themselves, really, because in the end they're kind of also posers themselves.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird, like this weird roundabout way of like how we live life and grow up. And it's just so, it's interesting. But I love that movie just for being like a weirdo in high school and just like being into punk, being into metal, being into hardcore. You know, I was like the weirdo. So I just love that opening scene because it's like such an awesome punk song.
Yeah.
And into like that whole like long like monologue is so good.
That's badass. I love the theme too, like you were saying, how you know these judgmental gatekeeper types ultimately by the end of the movie are like, yeah, they're just as much a fucking poser as the people they're picking on. Like,
exactly.
And it's so true, and you see that in every scene too, you know. And we've talked about this on the show, where you know, when we were young, Brandon's a little bit younger than us, but you know, when Mac and I were teenagers, you know, there was stuff that we secretly loved. There were songs that we behind closed doors, you know, we got into, but man, you couldn't say that shit, you know? Right. So, you know, in that respect, we were all posers, man, because you know, now we don't give a shit. I'm so over trying to be cool. I mean, you know, you know,
yep.
I mean, speak for yourself, guys. I mean, I'm like so cool. But yeah. SLC Punk, the song "I Love Living in the City" by Fear. Awesome. Check them out.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
And that's something cool that Eric and I, we always talk about too, is turning each other on to things that maybe we weren't familiar with. Like, I'm not familiar with that movie. So now I've got something to go check out. Like, now you just turned me on to it. Now I want to go see it.
And not to plug Boozy Floozy for Movies some more, but
plug away, my friend.
We did an episode on SLC Punk, and it was a lot of fun to get all three of our points of view on the movie and how, you know, we grew up kind of feeling like outcasts or misfits at the time. So it was cool.
Yeah. Nice. That's one of those movies that I've seen around forever. And I've never seen it, but I know of it, you know? So when you said it, I'm like, oh yeah, no shit. But yeah, now I got homework to do too.
All right. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So, my next pick here, I'm going to go with something I like to call my favorite movie of all time, The Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's written and directed by the Coen brothers. And we know, starring Jeff Bridges as the dude, John Goodman as Walter. There's so many songs in this movie that I could have gone with.
Oh, yeah.
Like "Looking Out My Back Door" by CCR. That's a great scene.
It really is.
Even the opening credits, you know, "The Man and Me" by Bob Dylan.
Yep.
"Hotel California" by the Gypsy Kings. Could have gone with a bunch of them. But I went with this one I chose because to me it's the funniest. And that's "Oye Como Va" by Santana.
Dude, I was on the edge of my seat. I'm like, which fucking one is he going to pick? Oh my God, that's great.
Dude, because, I mean, you know, just to set up the scene, you know, a couple scenes before this song, you know, they're Donnie and Walter and the dude are kind of, they're going to make it a plan. They're going to brace little Larry Sellers. They go to Larry Sellers' house, you know, the little prick stonewalls him. And Walter goes outside and you see what happens to Larry, and he beats the hell out of a red Corvette that he thought belonged to Larry Sellers. And it turns out it belonged to a neighbor. The neighbor comes out, takes the crowbar from Walter, and then proceeds to beat the shit out of the dude's car.
You kill my car? I
kill your fucking car. No, hey, that's not his car, man. And the dude runs out. And you see the guy like smashing the dude's windshield, and then cut to the three of them, Donnie, Walter, and the dude driving down the street in the dude's car. And Donnie and Walter are eating their In-N-Out burger. The dude is just stoically driving. He's just so angry. And the wind's blowing in his hair because there's no windshield. And the other two guys don't give a shit. They're just eating their In-N-Out burger while Oye come over, please.
Oh, God.
So good.
That just, it makes me laugh every time. Just the look on the dude's face. He's so annoyed. And those two, Donnie and Walter, just, they're drinking their milkshakes and eating their In-N-Out burger.
We've all been that guy that just is straight faced and pissed, and your friends are just idiots, and you know, you're driving and you're just like, I wish they would just fucking die right now. Like, you're just like, you just
I hope they choke on their burger.
Like, you can relate to him so much in that moment, man, because we've all been there.
Especially when it was them that got you into that mess, and you wouldn't have been in that mess if it wasn't for them.
Exactly. And they're enjoying a burger, and you're like, I just fucking, I could drive this car into a bridge right now.
And the song carries into the next scene when the dude's on the phone with Walter. Yes, I accept your apology. You know, so that just the way, the whole sequence is just so good. I mean, the movie itself, everyone knows, is one of the greatest ever made. Oye Como Va, that to me is, that's the song in that movie that just makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. 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 I thought maybe when you first said The Big Lebowski, you were going to do the Creedence, because that, even though it's a short little scene, dude, it's the opposite. He's so happy. He is so happy. Just living his best life in that moment, dude. He's got a little joint and he's listening to Creedence and he's driving down the
drinking
road.
Drinking a beer while he's driving.
Yeah, just drinking a beer. He's so
banging
happy.
On the ceiling in the car.
And then he crashes into the dumpster and my God, dude. And it's so fast. But again, there's just something about like that scene. I can't think of a song that would have been any better for that than Looking Out My Back Door by Creedence.
I know, it's perfect. Perfect.
So good. I was going to say, that whole movie is just one perfect song after another to match the scenes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Genius.
And R.I.P. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Brandt. Oh, my God. He was the best. So good in that movie.
Yep. God, he was great. What an amazing actor.
He was great in everything he did.
He really was. Well, Philip Seymour Hoffman was not in my next pick, but he probably would have done a hell of a job. That's called a segue, gentlemen. Do you see what I did there? Yeah.
Nice.
Oh.
That was nice, right?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's one of those things you ride on, right?
All right. Well, my next pick, again, it's one of those, every time you hear this song now, for the rest of your life, you will picture the scene in the movie. They are synonymous now. There's no separating the two. And it's been spoofed and parodied to death. Because, again, it's just such a brilliant scene. The movie's Office Space, 1999, written and directed by Mr. Mike Judge of Beavis and Butthead fame and King of the Hill. The movie's about, it's the 90s working in some shitty, like, software company, like, office. And you got a dickhead boss and just, you know, that's the gist of the movie. And then at some point, the main character, Peter, gets hypnotized. Doesn't give a shit about things anymore. And again, I'm giving a very quick synopsis, but yeah, the hypnotherapist dies before he snaps his finger. Once he snaps his fingers, he's supposed to come out of the hypnosis and start caring again. But while he's under, he doesn't care about anything. Guy has a heart attack and dies before he snaps his fingers. Now Peter's just walking around. He doesn't give a shit about anything. So he's the most stressed out guy in the world. Now he cares about nothing. So there's a scene in the movie where his two best friends that work with him, the company's downsizing, and his two best friends, they get fired. So on their last day, they take a printer from the office, and this printer has been haunting them the whole movie. It's constantly jamming and breaking down, and it gives this weird error that nobody knows what the hell it means. And oh, God, so they just despise this piece of equipment. And on their last day of work, as they're getting let go, they steal this printer and they take it out into a field and just unleash on it with like baseball bats, and they're drop kicking it and just, you know, beating the shit out of it. And the whole time that this is happening, the Ghetto Boys is playing and the song is Still. And like I said, it's the perfect song for the perfect scene. It's so good.
Back up in your ass with the resurrection.
It's fucking genius, dude. It's
but
so
dude,
good.
I mean, you the way you describe the whole, the hatred for the printer.
Yeah.
Just PC load letter. What the fuck does that mean? Like,
that's what it was. What does that mean?
It just, the guy, Michael Bolton, they got to pull him away. He's, eventually he like gets rid of the baseball bat and he's in his bare fist. He's like pounding on it and they got to pull him away.
It's great because we've all had something at our job that we absolutely fucking despise. We want to do that too.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And they did it for you.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel so good.
Yep.
Yeah. And to your point, Eric, the song is perfect.
It is. It's so good.
Just hardcore gangster rap and these three office guys just beating the shit out of a printer. Like it's just so good. It was so well done.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. And of course their other hit, Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangster, is also in the movie. When he first returns to work after getting hypnotized and he just doesn't care anymore, that song's playing as he's like, he's ripping his cubicle apart so you can see out the window. He takes the fucking door handles off and kicks in the building. Yeah. And oh my God, again, the marriage of the song and the scene is just, it's too good.
Yeah, no, I love how Mike Judge, he kept going back to the Ghetto Boys in that movie. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was just great. And like you said, damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Every time you hear that, like, have you ever like walked around work with that song in your head? Like, after you kick ass at something at work, and then that song's in your head, and you're walking around like, yeah, that's right,
that's right. All right, Brandon, your turn. What do you got for us?
All right, I guess this is my last one. I kind of saved the best for last. I'm really going to show a little bit of my feminine side here.
I've seen it. It's not that impressive.
It's not, but. I love a good Adam Sandler movie, and I do have to say that one of my favorite, not only favorite Adam Sandler movies, one of my favorite, because he's got many, but one of my favorite romantic comedies with Adam Sandler is The Wedding Singer. And at the end of the movie, when he's trying to win Drew Barrymore back, he sings the song, I Want to Grow Old With You. And Billy Idol's got a little cameo in there, and it is probably not only the lyrics, but the way it happens in the movie. He comes from first class into the coach section, and just she can't believe he's there, and she's in the, and it's just such a touching, awesome song that when I saw that movie, I was like, man, I would love to have that one day. That would be great. You know, that's like my ultimate like rom-com goal, right? If I'm, when I get older and I have a woman, this is how I want to win her heart, you know? And it didn't happen like that at all. You know, I got her. She's not romantic at all. And I've been romantic and she's like, you suck and you're weird. Get away from me. But that song and that scene in that movie is probably, it's in one of my most memorable like movie scenes ever. And so, I get romantic once in a while, you know,
man.
You know, when you've been married this long, it's usually with myself, but you know, it happens, you know, but every once in a while.
No shame in it, bro. No shame in it.
None whatsoever.
Nope.
That is a fine choice.
Yeah.
I was sitting here going, where's he going? Okay. Wedding Singer, because again, so many 80s hits in that movie, you know what I mean?
And that's another soundtrack that front to back is fantastic. Oh, yeah. And oh my god, what, I forget the actress's name, but the old lady, and she does Sugar Hill Gang.
Yes.
Oh my god, so good. But that and then that song's even on the soundtrack, her version of it, which is great. And but that soundtrack's awesome, and you know, of course, the other Adam Sandler song, Somebody Kill Me Please, also great. he was listening to a lot of Cure at the time,
right?
But it's an awesome soundtrack. But that song, like every time I hear that song, brings a little tear to my eye.
I didn't see that one coming.
No, me neither, man.
No,
you know, I gotta keep you guys guessing. I mean, I can't have you just assume it's gonna be a fucking horror movie or a punk song.
I mean, why would we think that? I don't know.
Yeah, weird. Would have thought
that another talk about quotable movies. I mean, pretty much any Adam Sandler movie is super quotable. But
and like, I feel like that was kind of one of his last like golden roles or golden movies before he kind of started going.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, Mr. Deeds was still good. Big Daddy, of course, was
good. Yeah.
But where it was just like so much comedy and it was golden.
That's a great movie, man. Now I want to go watch that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go 180 degrees from where we were just, we're here.
All right.
And I'm going to go with Apocalypse Now.
Oh, dude. Ooh.
Yes.
Nice.
The End. Whoa. By the Doors.
Yeah.
The opening sequence. Yeah. Mm. Just, you know, the sound of the helicopters, you know, scenes of war, jungle, flames. You know, you see Martin Sheen like laying on a bed, but he's upside down. There's an overhead fan spinning to the sound of the choppers. He's smoking a cigarette. There's a gun next to him in the bed. And again, it just, the whole thing kind of closes out with the sound of the choppers and the ceiling fan overhead as Jim Morrison's vocals kind of fade away with a little bit of an echo. But just the perfect song for that opening scene. Just, you know, just watch it. And anytime it comes on, I'm just preparing for this. I watched it a few times and I'm just mesmerized by it. I'm just staring at the screen like, wow, what a piece of filmmaking that was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an amazing movie, man.
So many people in that movie, too, because he had Martin Sheen, but he had Brando, Robert Duvall, Dennis Hopper, Lawrence Fishburne, Harrison Ford, just loaded.
I believe it was Larry Fishburne in that movie, but, you know, when he was still going
was
by
he
Larry.
Really? Right. Holy shit. So.
Yeah.
Brandon bringing the fun facts.
Yeah, that is a fun fact.
Fun fact.
Good job, dude.
Good job, man. Good job. But I, you know, I've always been a Doors fan. I've always loved that song, but it's used perfectly in that opening sequence in that movie. So it just, to me, it's just one of the best ever.
Yeah, that's a fantastic scene, fantastic movie, fantastic song. I mean, yeah, that's another one of those just all-time classic. Yeah, absolutely. Epic is the perfect word for it. Yeah, not an easy watch if you're if you're a sensitive type. It's a little brutal at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
But great flick, man.
Definitely messes with your head. It's an intense movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And especially Brando in that. Yeah. Holy shit.
Oof, like, yes.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. That's all I can say is whoa.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he's always mentioned in, you know, the conversation of, you know, the greatest actors of all time. And I think, you know, people forget, man, how amazing he was, dude. But, you know, watch that movie and tell me he's not one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest screen actor of all time. He was unbelievable, man. But
Oof,
that's some heavy shit.
And of course, you got Dennis Hopper just doing Dennis Hopper stuff.
Yeah, right?
He's great. Yeah,
I love Dennis Hopper. He's a fucking lunatic. He's the best.
He's a nut.
Yep, absolutely. Nice choice. Yeah, man. Anytime the Doors are in the conversation, I'm in, dude. I love the Doors.
Yeah.
God. They're one of those bands, too. I've heard so many people, like, even, like, famous, like, rock stars and stuff are like, yeah, I just don't get the Doors. What the fuck? How do you not get the Doors, man?
I know that's weird because, like, they are one of those bands, like Rush or something that people, there's no middle ground. People either love them or they don't.
Right, right.
Like, there's no, like, casual Doors fans, I don't think. You know what I mean? You're either on board or you're not.
Brandon's suspiciously quiet over there.
Yeah.
I'm not on board with the Doors. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm really not a Doors fan.
I'm watching your face and I'm like, he doesn't like the Doors, son of a bitch.
Something up over there.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right. Well, that proves our point. It's just, either people are like, I fucking love this band, they're amazing, or they're just like, I don't really get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like I do agree that when a Doors song is in a scene and it's done right, it works.
Yeah,
but the Doors overall, I don't care. So.
Yeah, and that is your prerogative, my friend.
It sure
that's
is,
right.
As Bobby Brown would say.
I can do what I want to do.
That's right. Oh man, my next pick is a movie called The Watchmen. Guys, fans. Yay, nay.
So I will tell you that I've never seen it.
Yeah, me neither.
And it's a movie I've been told a lot that I need to watch, and I've never actually watched
it. I'm actually kind of glad neither one of you have seen it.
So now you can just bullshit your way through this, and we'll just be like, great.
Yeah, exactly. Now I can just tell you anything about it. No, so it's – and I'm by no stretch a comic book connoisseur, but – when graphic novels or comic books are turned into movies and it's done well, they can be really amazing. I mean, The Crow was a graphic novel. We talked about The Crow earlier. So The Watchmen was a graphic novel that was adapted into a movie. And it's a superhero-based storyline, okay? But it's dark. It's really, really, really dark. And the opening sequence, so it takes place in the 80s, like during Cold War. But there's a lot of flashbacks to the 40s and up. So the timeline kind of jumps around between the 40s, 50s, 60s. So to sum that all up, the opening sequence of the movie, the opening credits, they play a song while they're showing sort of the history of the Watchmen. They originally started in the 40s. So the opening scene kind of gives you the history of the Watchmen, so they don't have to spend an hour setting up these characters. And as they're doing it, they're showing, you know, actual historical events. And the Watchmen are placed in these scenes. So it's sort of this alternate universe, whereas if they really existed. So like the moon landing, like Neil Armstrong lands on the moon and one of the Watchmen is on the moon when he gets there and that kind of thing. One of the characters is at he's on the grassy knoll during JFK's assassination. So there's all these real life events that, you know, introduce these characters. And while this is happening, the song that's playing is Bob Dylan's The Times They Are Changing. And the controversial statement that I was about to make was, I'm really not a Dylan fan. I never have been. Much like you with the Doors, Brandon, I don't get it. I mean, I respect his songwriting. His lyrics are amazing. I like when people take Dylan songs and redo them. I mean, Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower. I'm like, that's a fucking great song. But in this case, it makes me like the song because it's just, it's visually amazing. It's really smart. That opening sequence when they're setting up, again, the history of the Watchmen and all these historic events that they were there for, and that song's playing, it's so perfect. It's amazing. And again, it makes me love a Dylan song, which I didn't really think was possible. That and The Big Lebowski.
Right, exactly. The Big Lebowski. Well, that, I mean, okay, that's two tonight now that I've got to go check out.
Like, yeah.
Anything that, you know, makes you like Dylan, I have to watch.
I have to watch. That's fair.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm a Dylan fan, but I get why some people aren't.
Yeah. He's one of those like sort of polarizing types, you know, like people love him or they don't. But that scene, it's really, really good.
I've been told by many people I need to watch it. So it's definitely on my to-do list.
Yeah, you really should. It's a fantastic movie. And it's one of those movies, too, where you really need to watch it twice because there's a lot of layers to it. So even though you get through the movie and you understand what happened, you watch it a second time. You're like, oh, I didn't pick up on that. Or like I said, there's a ton of Easter eggs in it that, you know, are really cool. So, yeah, it's one of those movies. Watch it a few times and you'll notice things that you didn't even notice the first time around. But, yeah, really, really good flick. And they actually a few years ago, they turned it into a mini series. Well, it was like a spinoff, but it was called The Watchmen. And Trent Reznor did the soundtracks for The Watchmen.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, yeah. It was a streaming service. I can't remember. That makes sense. Amazon. Yeah. Oh, no. He was the perfect one for that. Yeah. But yeah, so pretty much all The Watchmen product is really good. So definitely check that out. And again, makes me like a Dylan song. So
reason enough right there.
I know, right?
All right, Eric, hang on a sec. We're here talking about movies. Let's talk a little bit about football before we go any further.
All right.
That was a big old appetizer last week. Now it's time to feast. College football is back. Don't miss any of the action. Jump in at DraftKings Sportsbook.
It's a full slate of games for week one, including the big matchup in Atlanta between preseason number one and number 14.
This is going to be DraftKings' biggest college football season to date. Enjoy the ride. Now all the way through the expanded playoffs.
Plus, all newbies getting into the college spirit, here's something extra special. New DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $250 in bonus bets instantly.
Score big with DraftKings all college football season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code COMBINE. That's code COMBINE for new customers to get $250 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 1-800-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly.
On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ftball.
Well, Brandon.
Oh, boy. Yes.
Are you ready, my friend?
I think so.
It is time for the Ride the Lightning Round. I love that Brandon is actually familiar with it, so I don't have to set it up too much for him, but this is where I'm just about to hit Brandon with 10 this or that scenario. You got to pick one. I'm going to give you two artists, and you got to tell me which one wins. The idea is to rapid fire through them, and then when we're done, you can go back and defend or explain or clarify some things for us, whatever you want to do. And if you're really stuck and you want to skip, you can come back. We can do that too.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
No, I can't wait for this.
I know. I know. And I've got a few on here that I'm hoping cause you some pain. So we'll see. We'll see how I did. All right.
No, wait. Real quick. Mac, have you heard these yet? Or are you going to hear these for the first time?
I'm hearing these for the first time right now. And I can't wait.
All right. All right. Here we go. Hate breed or typo negative?
Ooh.
Fuck me, right off the fucking bat. Are you fucking kidding me? Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck. I think I'm going to have to go typo.
All right. Ooh. Maiden or priest?
Oh, my God. Fuck, man. Iron Maiden.
All right. Spice Girls or Aqua?
Spice Girls.
Static X.
Spice Girls all the way.
Static X or White Zombie?
Ooh.
Oh, White Zombies.
Pantera or Lamb of God?
Oof. Ooh. That's tough. If they came out around the same time, it would make it even tougher. I'm going to go Pantera just because I know Eric will kill me if I don't.
That's fair. Okay. Cold Chamber or Orgy?
God damn it. Motherfuck. Orgy only because I could shake my ass to it.
Okay, that's fair. Misfits or Gwar?
God, dude, you're fucking killing me, man. Holy shit. This is, did you just like purposely make this the most brutal one?
I was trying. This is going way better than I thought, by the way.
Fuck. Oof. Oh, man. Misfits. Okay.
Rob Zombie or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Biggie or Pac?
Biggie all the way.
Good answer. Good answer, my friend. All right. And the last one. The Cure or Kesha?
Jesus. Are you... Oh, man. Fuck. Can I choose Lemmy?
No, I purposely skipped that one. Oh. I'm like, no, I'm not going to give you that. That's a softball.
Wait, what were my choices again? What? One more time?
The Cure or Kesha? Stalling. The Cure. Stalling. You have to
The Cure.
The Cure. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Is there any you want to go back and elaborate on or defend?
It was what? Static X or White Zombie?
Yeah.
I had to choose White Zombie because if I don't think Static X would have existed if it wasn't for White Zombie.
That is fair. Mm-hmm. That is fair.
But
I knew you were a big Wayne Static fan too, so I was like, oh, I'm going to hit him with that.
I am. So it was tough because I do love Static X. I do love R.I.P. Wayne Static. Yes. And then Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie. I had to go with Marilyn Manson because Rob Zombie just isn't the same without White Zombie. You know what
That's
I mean?
Fair.
So Marilyn Manson had to be it. And then you got me with the fucking right off the rip with fucking Hate Breed or Typo Negative. Come on, man. Like, that's like, I want to support the, you know, the hometown, sure. metal hardcore band, but Typo is just any mood I'm in, I can throw on Typo and be all right with it.
Yeah. Mac, were there any in there that caught you off guard?
Spice Girls or Aqua? I'm going to be giggling about that all night long, dude. Like,
yeah.
Well,
it was still a hard choice, but the Spice Girls will always win.
100%. Yeah. I know you're such an Aqua fan, though. I was like, it might cause them a little bit of pause. I figured you'd go Spice Girls on that one, but
I'm a little upset because I've seen Aqua live and within the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I've never seen the Spice Girls, and I'm kind of mad that you have, and I have.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Maybe one day, maybe I will, you know, if they do some sort of reunion in the next couple of years.
But that would be amazing. I would go see it with you, man.
No, absolutely. Can I just be clear? I just want to have this right in my head. Aqua, that's the one Barbie girl in Barbie World.
100%.
Okay. So I
yeah, so that's definitely them. Yeah.
Well,
but let me tell you, the rest of their catalog... The rest of the catalog is even better than that.
Really? So,
you know, oh my God.
Yeah. I've got more research to do now after this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really do.
Well, okay. And I've been looking forward to that so much, man, since we talked first about having you on the podcast, dude, because Mac and I pride ourselves on the fact that we listen to a lot of music and we like a lot of different things. And I'm like, Brandon really like walks the walk, dude. Like, I mean, you listen to the heaviest of heaviest stuff I've ever heard in my life. And then you'll also listen to freaking Aqua. And I love it. I love it. It made the lightning round so much fun because I could mix up, you know, I could throw metal stuff in there. I could throw punk stuff in there. I could throw pop, you know, in there. So that was a lot of fun for me. So thank you.
I was nervous going into it because I'm like, he's known me for a while and he's going to ruin me.
Well, I hope it wasn't too painful. Yeah, I knew the Hatebreed typo. No. I knew that was going to hurt. So I came out of the gate with that one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then the Misfits and Guar one. I mean, like, I love them both.
Yeah, yeah, that's
but
a
I'm
tough
like,
one.
And like, not really. You can't really compare the two at all. No. But I was like, fuck. Yeah.
Well, and yeah. Well, even I mean, The Cure and Kesha. At that point, I was just like, what are his two, like, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, it doesn't matter that stylistically they're not even similar. I'm like, just I knew I knew that you had such love for the both of them. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna pair them up and see what happens.
I love me some Kesha.
Yeah, well. But not as much as The Cure, apparently.
Oh, no.
This is true. They both make me cry, man.
Oh, well, there you go. But maybe for different reasons.
Yeah.
This is true. Yeah.
Well, dude, Brandon, this has been a ton of fun, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, dude. And we're,
thank you for having me.
Of course. Looking forward to a new episode of Boozy Floozies for Movies sometime soon, we hope.
Absolutely.
Nice.
I can tease it and say it is going to be a French movie.
Ooh.
That Alana picked. So
okay.
So yeah, so it's a good one.
Nice.
Gentlemen, how did we made it through this episode without talking about Stuck in the Middle with You from Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a good one.
Well, there's so many that were like super iconic like that. But, you know, again, I use the term low hanging fruit a lot. Like that was just a little too obvious. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
First one that popped into my head when I was thinking about this was Master of Puppets in Old School.
Oh,
when they're kidnapping, like they kidnap Blue and they're like, all right, come on, get in the van. And it's just, they're just Will Ferrell's got the freaking ski mask on his head and he's driving the van around and it's just Master of Puppets blasting and they're just kidnapping all the pledges. And I'm like, that is such an awesome scene and such a good song and such a good use of the song.
I forgot that was in there.
There's gotta be other songs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Of course, Cannibal Corpse in Ace Ventura.
Of course. I mean, yeah. Like, that's a great scene.
Playing live, you know, hammer smash face. Yep. Like, okay, cool. But I was like, I gotta think of something else.
Yeah. That's another great one.
Yeah, like School of Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. School of Rock is a ton in there.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, like I said, I kept the one that was the first one that popped in my head was, you know, from The Crow. But other than that, yeah, like anything, if I thought of it too fast, I kind of like brushed it aside because I'm like, no, let me dig a little bit deeper. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to get a little deeper than the surface here.
Right. Absolutely.
All right, Eric, we got time for some shout outs here before we close things out.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We got new listeners to shout out here. We're talking, I got some international and then some here in the States. Roatan, Honduras. Duisburg, Germany. Nairobi, Kenya. Bengaluru, India. Ebikon, Switzerland. Puerto Peñasco, Mexico. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Sandston, Virginia. Tacoma Park, Maryland. Petaluma, California. Two Rivers, Wisconsin. Hatboro, Pennsylvania. Ambler, Pennsylvania. Broadbrook, Connecticut, and Marston's Mills, Massachusetts. Thank you for checking us out. We appreciate you.
Hell yeah, appreciate it.
You guys are all over the place.
Oh, we're going global.
We're lucky if we get our next door neighbor to listen to the freaking podcast.
Thank you to all listeners, new and old. We appreciate every one of you.
Hell yeah, much appreciated.
And then just check us out on the socials. We are on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And on any streaming platform, rate us, review us, subscribe. It helps us out. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, on that note, that's going to wrap it up for us. My name is Eric.
My name is Mac.
And this is the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.